I'm too restless to sleep. I'm fearful of my dreams and deathly afraid that I shall have another vision. And as I've had nothing but toast, I'm famished. I shall eat the bed linens. Cupping the flame of my candle, I tiptoe through Spence's cold, hush-dark corridors and down to the kitchen. Brigid's odd collection of talismans is still there. The rowan leaves on the windows, the cross on the wall. I hope she hasn't left all the food for the pixies. I rummage about in the larder and discover an apple that is only slightly bruised. I gobble it down in giant bites. I've just begun to work on a wedge of cheese when I hear voices. I snuff my candle and creep down the hall. Weak light leaks out through the slight crack in the great room's doors. Someone's coming down the stairs. I duck into the shadows underneath and tremble in the darkness, wondering who could be about at this hour. Miss McCleathy descends in her dressing gown, carrying a candle. Her hair falls loose about her shoulders. I flatten myself against the wall till I feel my spine will break. She slips into the room, leaving the door slightly ajar.
"Let myself in."
A man's voice.
"So I see,"
Miss McCleathy answers.
"She abed with dreams of sugar plums?"
"Yes."
"Sure about that?"
The man scoffs.
"She paid me a little visit down by the Thames the other night. She and Brother Kartik."
"Falson!"
"She's been lying to you, Sahira. She's got the magic, all right. I felt the jab of its boot in my face."
Falson stands. I can see his shadow on the wall.
"Don't you think I know she has it?"
Miss McCleathy answers, steel in her voice.
"We'll get it from her. Patience." "She's dangerous, Sahira. Reckless. She'll bring us to ruin,"
Falson insists. Miss McCleathy's shadow presses close to Falson's.
"She's only a girl." "You underestimate her,"
he answers, but his voice has softened. Their shadows move closer.
"Once we build the Tower of the East Wing, the secret door will be illuminated for us, and then we'll have possession of the realms and the magic once more."
"And then?"
Falson asks.
"Then..."
Falson's shadow head dips toward Miss McCleathy. Their faces meet and blend into one shadow on the wall. My stomach tightens with hate for them both.
"You're a bit mad, Sahira,"
Falson says.
"You used to like that quality in me,"
Miss McCleathy purrs.
"Didn't say I don't still."
Their voices fade to sighs and murmurs I feel in my belly, and I blush.
"I need this, Sahira,"
Falson says softly.
"If I'm the only one of them allowed in with you and the Order, I'll be able to name my price. They'll call me a great man for it. I don't want to be their strong arm forever. I want to sit at the table proper with power of my own."
"And you shall, I promise. Leave it to me," Miss McCleathy answers.
"Brother Kartik is a problem. He tried to call a meeting. What if me lord knew I'd let Kartik go instead of killing him like they asked me to do?"
"Your employer will never know. But I need Kartik just now." I hold my breath. What if they mean to harm him? I've got to get to him, to warn.
"He and I have our agreement,"
Miss McCleathy continues.
"He can't forget it was I who bargained for his life with you. I who sheltered him in London for those months until he was well. Now he is in my debt, and he will answer to me."
"He was supposed to spy on the girl, tell us everything he heard and saw, not sneak behind our backs."
"I'll speak to him,"
Miss McCleathy vows. The weight of their words has me sinking slowly down the wall. Miss McCleathy at the Egyptian Hall, the figure in the shadows. It was Kartik. She sent him to spy on me. Bile, hot and acidic, claws up my throat.
"It'll take more on words. Let me take the strap to him again. That's how you get things done, Sahira."
"That's how you get things done,"
Miss McCleathy says.
"I shall stick with my methods."
"You're sure she don't suspect nothing?"
Miss McCleathy's voice is as sure as always.
"Not a thing."
There's the scraping of boots on the floor. I sit numbly in the dark as Miss McCleathy shows Falson to the door and treads the stairs to her bed. I sit a while longer, unable to move. And when I feel my legs again, I march straight to the boathouse, where I know I will find him. I'm not disappointed. He's there, reading Homer by lantern light.